please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TESKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Foss. With me, of course, the star of the show, former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, former great booker during the great era of the 83 weeks of dominance of WCW, the creator of the NWO, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP. How are you?
Doing good. Let's talk about the topic at hand. Let's talk about WCW Fall Brawl 1998, which was on September 13th, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the Lawrence Joel Veterans Memorial Coliseum. 11,528 people are in attendance. No retreat, no surrender. One rule, take no prisoners, is the tagline. Pay-per-view buys 275K. So not great, but not terrible. Comparatively, WWF Breakdown, which was the same month, had 300,000 buys, which was headlined by Kane and Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. So not terrible, not great. You lost the WWF there, and you're starting to go back and forth on the ratings. Because Warrior had just come in August, and you guys were beating them in the ratings because of Ultimate Warrior's return, which is crazy, but that's all the nostalgia fans. By September, people are going back to Steve Austin.
Right. And rightfully so. And you mentioned the main event. It was Undertaker Kane against Austin.
Yeah. Basically a triple threat match, but they turned it into a 2-on-1.
Yeah. It's pretty hard to beat that no matter who it is, right?
Yep.
I mean, I've said this before. Has anybody ever drawn as much money as the Undertaker? Then you put Kane in there, and then you put Steve Austin for the short time that he was on top. You know, if he didn't get injured, he probably would have drawn the most money of all time. But for the time he was featured, he drew nothing but money, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was packed in merchandise. So insane. And so I don't mind losing to the 1927 New York Yankees, you know what I mean?
Man, I went to a house show once in 98 that Austin was headlining. 20,000 people at a house show in Philly. I was like, this, I thought there was going to be, you know, maybe a few thousand people, but I was like, oh my God, it was insane. So crazy what he was doing back then for shows that weren't, you know, were nothing. We're like throwaway shows, house shows.
Right, right. And he was doing it not just in Philly, he was doing it every place he went. That's why I'm saying if he had been not hurt, nobody could have touched him about the money he drew.
And we have a whole episode that we've done a few months ago in the archive dedicated to Warrior and Warrior coming in. But did you think he was going to be a big impact player when you brought him in August of 98?
I was hoping that what you said just a few minutes ago, the nostalgia would do it, but in my heart of hearts, I knew that time had come and gone. We had gone a different way with Nash and Hall and Kidd, Moore, and then the other guys underneath, Guerrero, Benoit, Jericho, Raven. We had gone more to serious wrestling, and then we go to a mirror with Hogan sees the Warrior, but nobody else can. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
That's right out of the Dungeon of Doom.
Yep, that was bad. Was Hogan booking a lot of that stuff with Warrior? Were you involved at all? Like as far as that stuff?
I wasn't involved in that at all.
Man, because some of that stuff is just like,
well. Let me ask you something. I used to watch their shows, but not religiously. Wasn't that Warrior shtick anyway? I could never understand his promos. But they worked for him. They definitely worked for him. But that was on a different level. Now you're coming in with all this serious wrestling. You have a group of guys that are going to take over the company. You have great wrestling matches on the earlier card that are serious. And then I I forgot Conan, I forgot Disco, and I forgot Ray, and Bobby Eaton, and Regal. I forgot a lot of these guys that drew nothing but money, but their matches were so solid. How are you going to go to that? I know you can have everything in wrestling, from the jugglers to the lion tamers, but you had Hogan, the biggest turn of all times, and it was dead ass serious. And if people don't understand how much heat there was there, they fill the ring up with trash, right? When he turned. Then I understand what Hulk was trying to do. He's going back to the sweet spot with what the Warrior did. And he wanted that win back. And I'm sure, well, let me say that I feel comfortable saying I think the Warrior and him came up with a lot of that stuff, not just Hulk.
It just, especially with Steve Austin and you guys coming off the NWO, it just felt like, man, what are we, in 1990? Or, you know, what did we go back to 1989? It was crazy. We went backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
With Warrior.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, with Warrior, though, the initial, like, okay, this is awesome. Like, oh, because I remember my buddies were calling me, like, off the hook, do you have Nitro? And I said, yeah, Warrior's back. You know, like, everyone was excited. And then after a few weeks, it's like, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if this is working. You know, it just, it was so corny and campy, and there was a lot of cheesy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, was Hogan trying to make the Warrior feel comfortable on his shtick? Could the Warrior then do regular promos? Would he feel comfortable in doing them? Would he feel comfortable in doing... I'm taking nothing away from the Warrior. He drew a lot of money. But could he adapt to that era of believability? Or was he standing out like a sore thumb, like you said?
Yeah, it was almost like he didn't change with the times. He kind of went back to what the stuff that worked with him, which was kind of the opposite of what Hogan did at one point, where he was going with Hollywood Hogan, and he's acting like Hall and Nash, and going with the NWO. Seemed like Warrior was almost like stuck in a time warp.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Did you like him, Warrior, like personally?
I knew him before he was the Warrior, when I won the Mr. Tennessee, when I won Mr. East Tennessee. He was won the Mr. Georgia contest, and we used to train at the same gym, Doc's gym in Atlanta, when he was a chiropractor. I always got along with him. I had never a problem with him. He was always super nice to me. And I was as respectful to him as I possibly could be. He was a very, very easy for me to get along with. But I saw that it wasn't going to work because, like you said, the initial reaction, it should have been boom. Maybe he came out without an introduction and hit the ring and jumped on Hogan and people pulled him apart, and him, like they did that one time in the match that really didn't get over like I think it should have. I think we could have presented him better, but I also think that Hogan knew that the Warrior, to get what he wanted out of the Warrior, he had to listen to what the Warrior wanted. That's just my opinion. I could be way off.
So Goldberg is the world champion here. He's not on the pay-per-view. I know, obviously, Hogan was world champion for a while, wasn't on every pay-per-view. Was that strategic? Like, why wasn't Goldberg on this pay-per-view?
I think Bill was actually doing a movie, wasn't he? He started to get movie offers around this time.
Because he's at Halloween Havoc, obviously, the following month against DDP. Right. But it's weird, though, he's not wrestling on this pay-per-view.
And I also think, you know, he had the same agent, and Hogan set him up with the same agent and same lawyer that Hulk had. You know, Hulk was very good to Bill. And I think that during this time, Goldberg, I'm not 100% sure, but this is when Bill started to dabble early in some movies. And I think he went out to do some movies. And I think Hogan's agent and Hogan set him up for one.
It seemed like at this point with Goldberg, it was like, okay, you know, where does he go from here? What are you going to do with him? Because he basically, you know, he beat Hogan, he beats the Giant, he has that match at Road Wild where it's like eight or nine different guys, and it's kind of like a battle royal. He wins, but it's like, what feud are we going to establish him with? Where are we going with? And it almost seemed like it was going to be Chris Jericho. Yes, Jericho's a lower card guy, and yes, you know, obviously Goldberg would win that match, but how come we didn't go in that direction? Jericho continues to feud with Goldberg, but there's no Goldberg-Jericho feud per se.
There was I'm going to go out on a limb on this. There was a problem. And Jericho, from what I've heard, wanted to get, and I think this would have been a big pop, wanted to build it up. He just didn't want to go and do the job for nothing. And Chris is a very smart guy and a fabulous worker. He was, to me, during this time, he was like the young Sammy and Mox and Hook and those guys from AEW, the young studs, that he knew his worth, but he was going to let Goldberg spear him out of his boots. Wouldn't that have been a must-see moment forever on YouTube?
Yep.
Something happened there, and, you know, I think Bill, I love Bill, but I think sometimes when you get that quick push, and I don't think anybody ever got the push that Goldberg got in the wrestling business, maybe in the history of the wrestling business, right off the gate, I think he thought he should. The character and him had intertwined like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and he thought he should go through guys, no matter who they were. Jericho had worked hard to get in that spot, you know what I mean? He had busted his ass. His interviews at that time were terrific. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's been a great draw forever, but I think when he was Chris Jericho, the Cruiserweight Champion, that was some of the most unique matches, the most unique interviews when he had the ring guy come out with the T-shirt, remember?
Ralphus, oh yeah.
Ralphus, yeah. I mean, he just was on the mark. Everything he was touching was turning to gold, and I don't think a lot of people understood how over he was. I mean, I think that it would have elevated Jericho if we could come up with something to build that program where there was no match, but Jericho interfered in a dressing room or, you know, whereas Bill's coming into a car, he stole Bill's car, or he had Ralphus eat Bill's lunch or something, that when we got him in the ring and they had their match and Jericho got on him, and then when Bill would spear Jericho out of his boots, we'd still be talking about it. We missed that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, to me, it's like Jericho, he's so good at the point. Remember, he's calling him Greenberg. He was saying he's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, just making up wins against him. I mean, he was really building himself up as a big player. Obviously, he's not going to beat Goldberg, but it would have been fun to see that match and really get invested in it. I couldn't believe that it didn't end up happening. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like everything was leaning in that direction. Bischoff kind of blames Goldberg. Jericho kind of blames Goldberg. It seems like he just didn't want to do it for whatever reason.
Did Eric blame Goldberg too?
Yes.
What did he say? I like the,
that basically that Jericho wasn't on his level. He didn't like the joking around stuff that he was doing.
Yeah.
He didn't like the fact that, they were like you guys were letting him say he was 4-0 against them. He didn't like the Greenberg stuff. Like it was all like detrimental stuff like against those two together. So it's like Goldberg was bad-mouthed the Jericho and Bischoff was kind of placating Goldberg, but really saying that Goldberg didn't want to do it. How could he make him do it?
Yeah, I see that as Bill had gotten so into his character and he was so young and green. He didn't understand you could work with anybody and draw money. And this wasn't just anybody. This was a guy that was a savant about wrestling. He studied it. He lived it. And he came up with some great stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he was very, very good. I think, you know, it was just one of those things where Bill didn't understand. He was too young. But then later on, didn't he run from baby faces when he was a heel?
Yep.
Didn't he start talking when he couldn't talk?
Yep. Yep.
So, wrong time. This just shows too that Bill was too to let him decide stuff on his own. And the thing is, maybe everybody would have done that too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
At that time. You got to realize he had gone through the NWO. He had gone through Ming. He had gone through just about everybody. Oops.
Yeah, it was like he was beating all the giants and the big guys, but the Goldberg Jericho feud would have been a lot of fun. Like Bischoff even said he almost didn't understand what Jericho was doing and being a heel and egging him on and getting heat. It was almost like Goldberg didn't understand what was going on. He was so green to the business.
I think Eric is 100% right. I don't think Bill understood. Bill took everything really serious. He did understand he was given a position to lead the company, and he took that very, very serious. And I think he was too young to understand that he could have drawn a lot of money with Jericho. Could you imagine if Jericho got in the ring and jumped on him and Ralphus was in the ring and Bill went to spear Jericho and Jericho pulled Ralphus in front of him and Bill speared Ralphus?
Yep.
Then Jericho could say, oh, you won another one, Bill. You know, you beat Ralphus. I mean, the guy was super entertaining. That's one thing you learn, that you can't go back and redo it, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Man, because they tried to do it when he was in WWF, and it was okay, Jericho versus Goldberg, but it was almost like, man, there was so much momentum because Jericho's getting so much heat for calling him Greenberg, having the fake Goldbergs come out, beating him by count out when he wasn't in the building, like all this great stuff, and he was building it up. I know he speared him once on the entranceway and beat him up, but it's like, yeah, man, he should have speared him in the ring and beat him 1-2-3, and they could have had a match, and he could have been, you know, the biggest spear ever, whatever, but Goldberg wouldn't do it. It was crazy.
And I don't know how that happened on the spear on the floor on the entranceway. That never should have been done. It's like you said. I could, you know, if we had kept them away and not hurt, and you have to deal with Bill being green and not really knowing, we could have done it and sat down and explained it to Bill. But it takes so much time to do that, that we lost the momentum with Jericho, us, because Jericho knew where he was going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way to talk Goldberg into it, I guess?
this is a long time. I think we got to a point where he said he just doesn't understand. And if we do, and I'm sure this was Eric's thinking too, because that's why I asked you what he thought. You know, if we put him out there, it may be a debacle. It may, Billy may, you know, Jericho's a great worker. He may have worked Bill's socks off of him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And exposed Bill. There was so much riding on that. I think, you know, we decided to not put the resistance up we should have put. Does that make sense?
Yep. It would have just, for me, would have been great just to see, because like, wow, Jericho in the world title picture. This is awesome, because he was doing so much great work with the Cruiserweight division and everything else. He was on such fire, and that kind of led to him having a lot of, you know, displeasure with WCW. Like, man, I'm never going to break this glass ceiling here. I'm never going to get pushed. Not even Goldberg will work with me. And I agreed to lose a squash match to him. He won't work with me. So probably led to Jericho wanting to leave eventually.
I'm sure. And the other thing is, do you remember when Brian Pillman did the book man and the crazy man when he was the loose cannon?
Yep.
As soon as he got over, Hulk wanted to work with him. You know about that, right?
Yep.
I think if Billy had gone ahead and did a little program with Jericho, Hogan would want to work with him. We would have elevated Jericho immediately. And it also would have shown those other guys that the glass ceiling could be broken. But maybe you better put your thinking cap on like Jericho did. I mean, some of the things he did, and one of them is, I went back after you talked to me about Ralphus, because after a while, everything does become a blur. I laughed my ass off with Ralphus really got into it. You know what I mean? His head is just puffed out and walking beside Chris. I mean, it just worked on so many different levels. And you could see when the time came, like I said, he pulls him in front and Bill spears Ralphus. You know, he says, oh, Bill, you've won another one. You beat Ralphus. Ralphus was undefeated in 82 matches. I mean, there was so much fodder for Jericho to use. We screwed up. I screwed up.
And we'll get into it on the show, but Jericho promised he'd wrestle Goldberg on this show, and obviously we'll get to it, but we'll see what happens, because that is just hilarious as well. And I'm sure Goldberg was stewing over fake Goldbergs and stuff too, which is crazy, but I'm sure he was, because I knew he hated Goldberg too when WWF did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think they did that because they found out that Bill didn't like that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know? So.
Man, just a crazy way to think with Jericho and Goldberg. But then we get the Hogan Warrior feud started all over again 8 years later. Obviously, we're going to get the rematch at Havoc, and it was not a good match. And obviously, WrestleMania 6 was awesome. But Hogan versus Warrior, what is the thought process when you guys are putting this together? Because is it literally just so Hogan get that win back from 8 years prior?
That's what I think, don't you?
It almost has to be, like, because he's only there for 3 months and he loses to Hogan.
I mean, I never really, and I don't think Eric was, maybe he was more into it than I was because he was the boss. But I think this was all laid out by Hulk and the Warrior. And what surprised me, now that you brought it up, Warrior putting Hogan over so easily. I'm sure Eric had to have an unbelievable talk with him, but does that seem to go against the Warrior's grain, do you?
Yes. Surprised about it.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
Me too. I was very surprised that night, and I was saying to myself, you know, like I said, I had a very good relationship with the Warrior. I never thought he was going to do it like that. You know, I assumed they had come to some kind of agreement. And I almost, in my head, was assuming they were going to have a series of three matches. As you, as a young fan, is that what you kind of envisioned?
I thought it was going to be maybe even like a longer buildup, but I definitely thought it'd be more than one match, just because Warrior's back. You know, it's this huge thing. It was a big ratings getter for a while, for 2 months. He was a big ratings getter and a big draw, and it was like, wow, I was just like, that was it. Like, that's all Hogan wanted to do was beat him, and that's it.
And here's something else. You just said that it's a huge draw for a couple of months. One of the things about him, he gave you everything he could. And I don't understand how they didn't see, being him and Hogan, didn't see that a series of matches, if the guy's hot, can't you come up with some kind of great finish the first time that maybe people haven't seen, and kind of lean it towards the Warrior shtick, you know, whatever it be, and then come back in something else, and then, you know, whatever. But it was like he came in, nostalgia was hot right then, and then, boom, it was gone.
So weird, because I don't know, like you would just expect this huge return. He's debuting at WCW. Like, it was going to be, you know, he had that long promo with Hogan. I know you just expected longer run, better outcome, not Horace Hogan coming out, hit him with the back of the, you know, back with the chair. I know he had the fireball that went awry and that didn't work, but it just seemed like it was going to be a better finish. I don't know. It's very like lazily done by those two, shockingly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you talk about that finish, that did not work. The fireball, it didn't even come close to him, did it?
Nope.
It almost got on Hulk's face, right?
Yeah, he almost, yeah, but by the time he finally got it, yeah.
Yeah, and the chair with Horace. We could have done, you know. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those questions that I don't think we will ever have the answer for, because certainly we could have done something with the NWO, right? And could you imagine if Hogan, I mean, yeah, Hogan, Nash, and Hall against Sting, Warrior, and Randy?
Yeah.
But we had that one match, and that was it.
So here, Warrior will have it. He will be in the main event of War Games, but it's weird here because he doesn't play a big part. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. It's weird because there's too many guys. There's 9 guys in the War Games match. It's Team WCW versus Team NWO Hollywood versus NWO Wolfpack. It's just, and there's 9 guys. It's not the traditional War Games. And we'll get to it more in the when we talk about the main event. But why the change? War Game is always 4-on-4, 5-on-5. WCW versus NWO, Horseman versus Dusty and the Crew. You know what I mean? Like, why the 3 different teams? Why WCW versus NWO versus Wolfpack?
The only thing I could think of is that Hogan wanted to keep him and the Warrior separated because it just watered down Hogan and Warrior.
And it's funny, in this match, Hogan, his whole thing is when they finally get called on to get in there, Hogan's whole thing is he's running away from the Warrior. Warrior kicks through the cage at one point, exposes the cage. So, you know, they keep teasing Hogan, Warrior. He wants to get his hands on him. Hogan keeps running away. But I don't know, did they need to be in that match? Could they have, I don't know, could you guys have done something else? Because this is not traditional War Games. It's just so weird to have 3 different factions, and then it's 9 guys, 3 versus 3 versus 3. It just, I know, it was just real, like a cluster.
It was a cluster. And again, it was, you know, back in the day, there was a lot of bookers that thought if you get two guys that are hot, meaning the Warrior and Hulk, before you have them wrestle one another, you have them in tag matches where the Warrior wouldn't get to Hulk.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That was the traditional pattern that they fell in. Now, maybe Hulk's idea was to add the other team to keep them, make sure they didn't touch. It was, and I'm not knocking Hulk for this. That was the thought process of a lot of people. But the times had changed. You brought a guy in that Hogan did a job for at that time. And the other thing, do you remember Warrior saying, you know, he said, Hogan said, you're not going to come here and beat me. He said, that's not such a big deal. A lot of people have beaten you. Do you remember that interview?
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah.
JP, do you remember that interview?
Oh, yeah.
That, wasn't
that was
a
awesome.
Thing to say, you know? Yeah. So, maybe Hulk's idea was let's keep him away from me. I'll add this other team in there and see what happens. But it backfired on us and it didn't work. And I'm being kind to say that.
Yep. So it was. I love that interview just because it's awesome. Just because Warrior's there, but some of the stuff he says in there, you know, like taking shots at Hogan, everybody's beating you, which means that if he beats him, it doesn't mean as much. Which things making fun of Beefcake, yeah, yeah. You know,
right.
There's some lines in there that he probably shouldn't have said.
Right.
I think
the line said about
Who is this? Must be your barber.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was doomed from the start. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and even his trap door, which he uses to hide with the smoke and disappear, that ends up injuring British Bulldog. So it's really, cursed.
Right. It really hurt Bulldog, too, I mean, badly.
Did Bulldog not know that there was a trap door? Did he not remember? What happened? He forgot, maybe?
I don't think... I've heard that nobody told him, but I mean, I'm not sure. I can't comment on that because I don't know. But I know that a lot of people did know, you know what I mean? And maybe nobody told him. Who knows?
Do you know why, though, just in general, why you guys decided to go away from the traditional War Games format? Was that something you wanted to have Wolfpack, Hollywood, and a Team WCW? Like, what was the thought? Why?
It was what I said. I think Hogan wanted to camouflage him the Warrior not getting to him. And the more people you put into the match, it almost guaranteed that the Warrior wouldn't get to him.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. So we'll get into the card here. The first match, Bulldog and Neidhart, the British Bulldog, of course, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, defeated the Dancing Fools, Alex Wright and Disco Inferno, in about 11 minutes. Okay match. Not a great opener. Obviously, Bulldog gets hurt here, too, and that stinks. But what do you think here of Bulldog and Neidhart fresh off the WWF? Not fresh off, but off WWF to you guys and beating Alex Wright and Disco in the first match?
I'm not so sure that we should open with that match. I'm not so sure that Hogan brought them in, and Disco and Alex had worked their asses off. Maybe we could protect them a little more.
Now, a lot of people online would say, like, if you go to look at this video package before the pay-per-view, it was a lot, like, slicker and a little bit different. Were you guys trying to match, maybe, WWF's production value? Like, or were you trying to change things up? Did anything change with production?
Of course. No, they were trying to make production a lot slicker. I mean, there was a lot of talk about just making it a lot slicker. anyway before this. So I understand where Eric was coming from. And we were behind. We needed something slicker.
Did somebody watch a lot of WWF and say, oh, man, they're doing this better, they're doing that better? You know, is that somebody's job?
Yeah. Yep. And I'm sure it would have been maybe Gary Juster at the time.
Ah, good old Gary. Interesting. Yeah, because it seems like, obviously, yeah, they have the momentum at this point, meaning WWF, over you guys.
Right.
They're really starting to kick ass.
Gary was a very, Gary was a very smart guy. He didn't get a lot of credit. He was very, he was a lawyer. Very little trivia. Gary's father delivered Ric Flair. So he could have thrown the stick in when the Dracula was.
Wow, that's crazy.
Did you
know
that?
My God. No, I didn't know that. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Huh.
Yeah.
Learn something every day. Huh.
So, yeah.
As far as this pay-per-view, the next match is the infamous Goldberg Chris Jericho match. Chris Jericho basically says to Mean Gene Okerlund in a hilarious promo that he's got a match, and his match is against Goldberg. And the funny part is, it's not Goldberg. It's a fake Goldberg. It's obviously a really short guy, Goldberg impersonator. Jericho ends up beating him in a minute. But he says now he's 1-0, 2-0. Like, he keeps saying, I've beaten Goldberg again. But it was a mini Goldberg. It's even smaller than Goldberg. I mean, it's just a little guy pretending he's Goldberg. Very, very funny stuff. But obviously, Bill didn't think it was funny.
Oh, no, he didn't think it was funny at all. He didn't think it was funny at all. I thought it was hilarious like you did. I mean, Bill should have understood. Bill was too young to understand. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He took it too personally. I don't think he understood how good Jericho was. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, the crowd was chanting bullshit because I guess they really thought real Goldberg was coming out. You know, it was just music, and they did the little shit pyro to make it look even more bad, or even better, I guess you could say. But it was like they were really went out of their way to pretend it was Goldberg. Then it wasn't Goldberg. The crowd shit on it because they were pissed. But it got a lot of heat on Jericho.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Jericho, I mean, this guy's thought process. Listen, he didn't stand on top and be one of the biggest draws in the history of the wrestling business because he wasn't smart. He's a very smart guy. I have all the respect for him in the world. He's been basically on top since the day he got in the business. So, in the thinks, and he always reinvents himself, which is very hard to do in the wrestling business. And I mean, the Jericho Appreciation Society and all that he comes up with. Nobody's coming up with that but him. I may be wrong, but I'd be very surprised if I am.
And here, he definitely a Spinal Tap fan because he kind of pays tribute to them. On his way to the ring, he gets lost. He's doing the Goldberg entrance, but he gets lost. Him and Ralphus, and the Ninja, I mean, they can't find their way to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it was a Spinal Tap tribute, I wonder how many people picked that up.
At that point, when I was younger, I didn't. Later on, I picked up on it, but... Later on, I picked up on it. It's very, very funny. I mean, I just at the point, though, that it's just so funny that he's making fun of Goldberg like that.
JP, your mic's breaking up a little.
Oh, sorry. It's just funny as hell that he was making fun of Goldberg like that, just of the entrance. I just thought it was very, very funny.
Move forward.
Forward a little bit? Can you hear me?
JP, move forward. That mic. Can you move forward? Every time you lean back, that's what happens.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Huh. Go ahead, talk to me.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good?
Perfect now.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That's weird. But I was saying with Jericho, it's just so funny that he was doing that and making fun of Spinal Tap, but also making fun of Goldberg's entrance at the same time. Very funny stuff. So the next match was Ernest the Cat Miller defeating Norman Smiley in about 5 minutes. Nothing really to kind of talk about here. I guess you guys were like wanting to get Ernest Miller and Smiley in the pay-per-view. There was kind of just a cold match.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's something. Every match doesn't have to have a storyline, but there should be some connection on a pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is one of those things where you hit it right on the head. Let's get them on the pay-per-view.
Definitely. That's what it seemed like. So then the next matchup, Rick Steiner fought Scott Steiner with Buff Bagwell to a no contest. Not a great match here. It just was weird. It was only 5 minutes, 30 seconds, but had Scott Steiner refused to wrestle Rick, he would have been permanently banned from WCW. This was a part of the storyline where Scott was just pretending to be afraid of Rick, and he kept not wanting to wrestle him. So the match was, I don't think it was designed to be great. It was more of a storyline thing with Scott being afraid of Rick, but I don't know. I was hoping, even as a fan, it's just like, these two would just beat the living hell out of each other and would be one of those type matches, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm not a big fan of brothers fighting brothers. You see, with the two brother fighters from Brooklyn, the twins, one was the welterweight champion.
Oh, Charlos? The Charlo brothers?
Yeah. They said that would never happen. See, to me, we do shit sometimes. Yeah, you beat up, your brother beats you up, your older brother beats you up when you're growing in the house. He ain't gonna, but if someone whacks you, he's gonna come down and whack the guy. He ain't gonna fight you for money. You know what I mean? I never liked it. I know that a lot of wrestling fans would say, oh, that's great. It's another one for me. Willing suspension, disbelief. You can't check that at the door, especially if you grew up with boys in the family.
I never liked that.
My older brother used to beat the shit out of me every day, but if anybody touched me, he was downstairs beating the shit out of them. So.
Yep. Very true. So, yeah, I didn't really care for that storyline too much with Rick and Scott, but you know, it just wasn't that great of a match just in general, but it was a lot of like gaga, a lot of BS, and a lot of Scott being, you know, almost being a chicken shit heel, which kind of almost goes against Scott Steiner.
Right. You're absolutely right.
The next matchup, Juventud Guerrera defeated Silver King to retain his WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Okay, match, nothing bad, but nothing great, but you know, nothing to write home about either. But it's nice to get Hoovy Juice out there, the maskless Hoovy Juice.
I always liked Hoovy. Always liked him. You know, I wasn't privy to the naked Hoovy in Australia, but he was always gave you everything he had.
So was he a problem backstage? Because I've heard stories. No. He wasn't. I've heard stories where he would tell guys not to do certain moves. And you know, like he would try to like tell the guys, don't do this, don't do that, don't steal my thunder kind of thing.
Maybe to the guys, he'd go to the guys. But
yeah.
For me, he was super. Super. Friendly, smiling face, yes, very nice.
So the next matchup is going to be the last match. It's going to end the rivalry. Saturn defeats Raven with Canyon and Lodi in a Ravens rules match in about 14 minutes. To me, save the pay-per-view, to really was the match of the night. Great match here as Saturn finally gets some revenge on Raven.
Yeah, it was a very good match, and rightfully so, two great performers. Raven's a guy that doesn't get his due. One of the smart guys in the business.
By winning, Saturn gets to free himself of the flock. Obviously, he was a member of the flock for a while. By winning, he frees himself. He's no longer a part of the flock. So that was the storyline going in. So you had some stakes and some investment. I like that feud. I know it's an undercard match, an undercard feud, but it's kind of upper mid card, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was good too.
Now, there's an incident in the back, obviously storyline related, but Conan is going to fight Scott Hall a little bit later in the evening. Conan's being interviewed by Lee Marshall, and Hall comes up to him, and he's drunk. What was up with the Scott Hall drunk storyline? Did you guys think that was like going to be a good draw? It seems like, man, it's personal.
I thought it was very, very wrong. I thought it was very wrong.
Whose idea was it?
I think it was Scott's.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Like, what's
I have no idea, because he had enough stroke, if it wasn't his, to squash it. That's why I'm saying I'm assuming it was his.
Makes sense, because, you know, he had all the stroke and all the power in the world. If he didn't want to do that storyline, don't do it. You know what I mean? I mean, it was terrible. He shows up drunk. He's slurring his words. Really weird.
And Kevin would have stood in too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And Kid. I think he was there then.
No, he was gone at this point. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think that draws any sort of money. Yes, it draws realism. Yes, you know, there's some, you know, they oh my God, like, that's so serious. Made people pay attention. But I don't think that's a good draw at all.
I think it's horrible. And later they did it with WWE, did it with Hawk, which I thought was real bullshit.
Yep. And they really even said, like, the guy was on drugs. So it was like, I know you guys are drinking, but they're saying Hulk is on drugs. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know, both are bad, but I think Hulk, that was even worse.
Yeah, I do too.
So the next matchup, Dean Malenko defeats Kurt Hennig with Rick Rude by DQ in about 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Nothing great, nothing bad, but, you know, I think Hennig wasn't quite himself here in 98. He had a bad back. He had a knee injury. Malenko, I think, was kind of suffering through an injury here as well. It just wasn't what you'd expect from Mr. Perfect and Malenko, but it wasn't bad either.
No, but like you said, Kurt had the back and knee, and I'm pretty sure that Dean, both knees were hurt, right? I'm pretty sure.
Possibly, yeah. It's definitely possible on that, but he wins by DQ NWO interference, but kind of continues on with some Horseman NWO feud. So then we go to Conan defeating Scott Hall with Vincent by submission in about 12 minutes. Match was not good. It was almost like Hall might really have been intoxicated during this match, because it wasn't good. Not good chemistry. I don't know. Can't put my finger on it, but even Hall before the match was slurring through the survey. So I don't know if he was really drunk, playing he was drunk, but thankfully the match ended in 12 minutes, but it was pretty bad as far as Hall and Conan.
Yeah, and I think Scott might have had a few drinks, but he was trying to overdo the character, which, you know, was not the right thing to do, as we all know.
No, definitely not. Would you say anything to him, like, about, like, his alcoholism or anything like that, or you didn't get into, like, personal stuff? You guys got to handle it on their own.
Well, he's a full-grown adult. It isn't my position to step in. This is a human resources position, I think. And if it was part of an angle that he agreed to do, then I'm making an ass of myself. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Trying to stop him from doing an angle he came up with. It just didn't make sense to me, but I really, really admired Scott. He went through a lot of demons, and it seemed to me he had turned the corner.
So then we have the main event of the evening, Team WCW, which is Diamond Dallas Page, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and The Warrior, defeating NWO Hollywood, which is Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, and Stevie Ray, and NWO Wolfpack, which is Kevin Nash, Sting, and Lex Luger, in the War Games match, where pinfalls actually count this time around. It's not submit or surrender. Pinfalls count. There's obviously three different teams, so three different guys are going to be in the match. This was a really bad match, really wonky, just not your traditional War Games. Nothing about it was great. Star power-wise, I I don't know if I could find a match that would ever have bigger stars than DDP, Piper, Warrior, Hogan, Bret, Nash, Sting, and Luger. Of course, Stevie Ray's in the match as well. Pretty big name as far as just a tag team guy, but you knew he was in there to lose. I mean, if you were to look at that match, you're like, okay, none of those guys are losing, but obviously Stevie Ray. DDP gets the win over Stevie Ray as the finish. To me, very, very obvious, very predictable. You just didn't know maybe DDP was going to win, but you knew Stevie Ray was going to lose.
Exactly, exactly. Was not a well-booked card.
With Warrior, too, it was weird. This is his WCW pay-per-view debut. It wasn't like it wasn't being promoted as such. Like, the announcers didn't mention it. Is that a drop ball there? I mean, is his Ultimate Warrior here? I mean, he's one of the biggest stars of all time debuting.
Yeah, definitely a drop ball. Definitely. And he should have taken the fall.
Really, you think?
He's going to wrestle Hulk Hogan. He's the only guy on that group that beat Hulk Hogan, really, right? At his height of power.
But DDP winning sets up his world title match against Goldberg. Do you just not make it for a world title match and just kind of go in about a different direction?
He could have had the world title match. He could have done something. Gave him the diamond cutter, tagged Warrior to hit the ropes and give him a splash. This guy's going to wrestle Hogan. You better give this guy the win. I mean, how many guys does Paige need to beat? He was ready.
Man, this match, though, what a disappointment. It's funny. It's like Warrior may be the only, like, big appearance in this match. It's like, okay, this, like, something's going to happen. Something's cool. At one point in the match, Hogan snuck in early and beat up everybody with that slapjack gimmick, that, like, that roll of quarters in a sock gimmick. Yeah. So he lays everybody out. Then the ring fills with smoke and a fake Warrior shows up. Hogan beats up the fake Warrior. Then the smoke comes again and the real Warrior comes out from the dressing room and he goes to beat up Hogan. Hogan bails. Then Warrior destroys the cage and then Hogan runs away and he gives chase, which, you know, eventually towards the end of the match, DDP wins with the diamond cutter over Stevie Ray. But I feel like the only thing of note in the whole match was the Warrior stuff that nobody promoted or pumped up. It was weird. Yeah. Very weird.
Yeah, it certainly was.
What do you think overall that match? I mean, to me, huge disappointment, especially with the names involved. What a disappointment.
Yeah, I think that we put a red light on Stevie that everybody knew he had to stop. That he was going to get beat. I accept what you said 1,000%. Great talent, but he's a tag team guy, and everybody knew he got put out there to get beat.
To me, this pay-per-view, you had Saturn and Raven, which was great. And, you know, a couple matches that were okay, Juventud and Silver King, Malenko and Hennig. But, man, what a disappointment. The best part of the whole pay-per-view was definitely Jericho doing the spinal tap bit and him beating the fake Goldberg, which was hilarious because the crowd ate it up and just absolutely hated Jericho. I feel like outside of Raven, Saturn, and Jericho, this pay-per-view was awful.
I do, too. I can't disagree with you at all.
You giving it two thumbs down?
Absolutely. Maybe give it three.
I feel you on that.
Two thumbs and a pinky.
Yeah, there you go. So let's head towards the plugs. You could follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Of course, you can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. You go to Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com. Visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Well, I'll be up in New York for Outlaw Wrestling. I'll be there for signing. So anybody that's a fan of the show, come by and let's talk.
All right. Great stuff as always. Thank you, everybody out there, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks. We'll be right back. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline. And low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie.